States government has some power of supporting the truth about them on an international scale. I cannot deny that they are humanistic about the attitude of government. It is assumed that the authorities, here, there, and everywhere, know more about the sources than the United, and that they are supporting it. This is something is never questioned by many sources. When the skeptic asks why the news should be supported, the sorcerer is forced to find an explanation, and he says, perhaps, that it too surprises the truth when known the opponent. Why should there be a panic, is the next question. Because the idea of visiting from Mars is a terrifying idea. Remember the Orson Welles broadcast, etc., etc. You know the rest. So those who will have lost this particular argument, he has, in the first place, made the assumption that the government knows all the answers about this. I am willing to believe that it will probably have a very great deal more evidence in its possession than you and I have, in the form of films, sworn statements, and so on. But how on earth does the sorcerer know that this particular government has discovered the whole of the truth? As a matter of fact, one or two governments have denied that the sorcerer has anything but a conventional explanation. You cannot upset these skeptics by inventing a reason for the government's silence. Although you may have dared, I say yes, correctly. The second reason why the skeptic will remain unconvinced by the argument is because the touch of arrogance has once again crept in to spoil the sorcerer's case. The skeptic is told that he and his like would punish if the truth were told. Very sensible people, like the sorcerer, superior people, in fact, would behave calmly, rationally, and, I must admit, with an air of meddling condescension. Even if it is true that some people might panic in the face of the truth, they do, I assure you, seek to be careful. Now I want to look for an inquiry at this attitude of the government. If there is a conspiracy of government, it must be worldwide. For those which have spoken on this subject of Paul have said much the same sort of thing. All of their statements have been hesitant, often contradictory, and altogether unhelpful towards the solution of the mystery. Boiled down, it amounts to the fact that a percentage of the sightings cannot be accounted for in conventional terms. This percentage often varies. I've seen it given as 5%, as 10%, and once, if I remember rightly, as high as 20%. Don't these percentages, I say. They're absolutely meaningless. Who chooses 100% anyway? On what basis? After all, I am interested only in the cases that can't be explained away, and all the other ones are just red herrings, accidentally or deliberately drawn across the argument. But does this government holiday prove that there is a worldwide conspiracy of silence? I very much doubt it. For this sort of double talk is just the sort of answer you get from any government department in England, and I suspect in the United States as well, when someone starts asking questions to which there is no clear answer. This is known as passing the buck. I think that in the attitude of government, there is much more evidence of a genuine puzzlement than there is of the person of the truth. I may be wrong, but But I do know that this is a much more convincing reply to this question than the flesh creeper line that the sorcerer is so fond of shooting. And if he is honest with himself, he will have to admit that he has introduced this explanation to get himself out of a difficulty with his skeptical friend. Not all skeptics are fools, by the way, and many of them can see through the hole in their donut just as clearly as we can. The trouble with crawlers is that they are not an applicable experiment. I read one very distinguished sorcerer who admitted that he had never seen a frog, but that he believed it. He said, in support of this belief, that he had never been to India, but he was prepared to believe the evidence of those who had visited that country. His point left all paths to Satan and could easily be destroyed. A person foolish enough to deny the existence of India could put the matter to the test by visiting the spot where that country was supposed to exist, and be confounded by finding it exactly where it was going to be. But a guy of you cannot do this to the porter. It is here today and gone tomorrow, and when necessary, it comes back again the day after. Therefore, if a porter lands in my garden and I speak to his occupant, I may feel compelled to share the truth with the world at large. But unless I can support my story in some way or other, I must not be surprised if I am considered a lunatic or a liar. Even confirmed sources may hesitate to believe my unsupported statement. And why shouldn't they? Why should flying sources be the one subject in the world where logic, common sense, and intellectual integrity can be thrown overboard? Why should the skeptic be treated as a fool? Why should the law of evidence be scrapped? There are no valid answers to these questions, the excellent reasons that logic, common sense, evidence, they all point to the fact that flying sources do exist and that in all probability they emanate from somewhere outside our atmosphere. As yet we have no scientific proof as to their place of origin, but we do know that they have been seen, that they appear to be solid, and that they behave utterly unlike any aircraft known to man. These are the facts that have to be driven home, and when they are, we shall be on the threshold of the truth. It could take in the end. Why is it so important to convert the majority to our way of thinking? Well, I will tell you why I consider it so important. If you can increase the percentage of believers in just one country to near or to over 50%, or even slightly less, then you replace the government, your government and my government, silence on the subject. I believe that this silence may be due partly to the fact that at the moment the full explanation is not available. If I am right, then a fear of ridicule would be an excellent reason for the official double talk. If sorcery grew to a majority, then the government would be forced to reveal what it does know. And it could do so without fear of anything, of panic on the part of the people, of ridicule, or of complete incredulity. The task is up to us in the first place. I doubt very much whether, at this stage at least, The flying saucers are the concern of government calls, unless they are known to be hostile to their people. There are two opinions on this matter, I know, but the evidence is neither clear nor convincing. I'm speaking of the attitude of government. What is the attitude of newspaper editors? I can speak to some experience here, for I have negotiated source materials, etc., with a number of them. And I count among my friends many editors and journalists, both in London and in the provinces. In fact, my job as a publisher in England brings me into frequent contact with such people. Why are the papers at the moment so silent on the subject of flying saucers? Is this really a conspiracy on the part of the press? I have heard many sources claim that the press is hand in glove with the government and that the editors have instructions to clamp down on all news. This just isn't true. Most of the editors I know are skeptics and they fear ridicule. Unless the fighting is either very good or has a novel feature. The attitude of editors at the moment is that flying saucers are nothing more than last year's stunt. That is the only reason why the saucers have not made headlines in England for such a long time. But there is no censorship. The newspaper is absolutely free to print what it likes about the sources. A local paper in Gloucestershire, England, recently reported an expert sighting, well corroborated, of an unidentified object about the size of the Queen Mary. It was flying over Scotland, and was also seen by witnesses in the nearby city of Gloucester. The editor and the reporter are still alive, and they have received no instructions from the authorities to clamp down. The people can, of course, keep on thinking the same story, but if another book appears, you will find a report of it in that paper, at least. The newspaper world contains people just like us all, and I would remind my listeners once again that the majority in this world of ours is still skeptical. Nearly all of my listeners will recall an instance in their lives when, for some reason or other, they were obliged to change their mind on an important subject. It may have been religion, politics, or just a natural business. Gradually, the old conviction disappeared, and a new one, perhaps in violent contradiction with the old, was born. You remember how obstinate your old self appeared to the new? You see now how wrong you were, how deaf to all arguments and entreaties. I know it often makes you blush to think of it. Well, the skeptic is in the place of your own self. He will see the light one day, if you are faithful. If you are persuasive instead of thinking of it, you can make that day tomorrow.